Matthew chapter number 12 this morning. I've been thinking all week about the children's song that we've been singing for this month, that we've been learning the last few Sundays, Oh Be Careful. You know, Oh Be Careful Little Eyes, we just sang a little bit ago. Oh Be Careful Little Hands, what you touch. Oh Be Careful Little Eyes, what you see. Oh Be Careful Little Tongue, what you say. Oh Be Careful Little Ears, what you hear. Oh Be Careful Little Feet, where you go. Oh Be Careful Little Mind, what you think. As we look at our Father's Day today, I think that's exactly the need that we have for our dads and our grandpas and our great-granddads in this generation, a generation of people who are careful about what they do, where they go, what they see, what they hear. I read a little, I found a little poem years ago. I'd like to read it for you. I've given it out on Father's Day in the past. It's a wonderful little poem. It's written by Janet Ingram, and it's entitled, Walk a Little Plainer, Daddy. It goes like this. Walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are plain, sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago. What you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I am grown up, you are like I want to be. Then I'll have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. I thought that was a real appropriate poem for Father's Day. Wonderful poem of what our Heavenly Father has provided for us. A tremendous example. And so this morning on Father's Day, I'd like to speak to you on an example. An example. And we're going to have our Bible reading out of Matthew chapter 12. And I'm going to start with verse number 33. And the Bible says this. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasures of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures, bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words that thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, an example. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. I thank you for the service of the singing and the offering, and especially the prayer that Brother Lowell gave before our offering and our need for rain. We love you and we thank you so much for your kindness to us. Now I ask that you'd open up our hearts and our minds this morning as we look into your word and learn about the subject of being a good example as daddies, as grandpas, as great-grandpas, as mamas, as grandmothers, as great-grandmothers, as friends and neighbors. So please bless this service for your glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God seeks for you and me to be an example in our life to others. God speaks of the example that we need to live, especially in the way we speak or behave. In our passage today, we've seen from the Lord things that we can learn right off the top as we read the Scripture, some basic things that it gives us right from the very beginning. So let's take a look at these. Number one, we can learn this. We only produce what we truly are. We only produce what we truly are. We only produce what we truly are. A corn kernel or seed can only produce corn. A wheat kernel can only produce wheat. Beans can only produce a bean. If you put a bean in the ground and you expect a corn stalk to come up, that's not going to happen. Amen. It only produces what it is. And in life, God's teaching us that we can only produce what we are. Let's look again at verse number 33. Here we see this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. So there are only two choices that we get from the Word of God. Either being good or being corrupted. The question is what are you and I? As a dad, what am I? Am I good? Or do I have corruption in me? As a mom, am I good? Or do I have corruption in me? As a brother, am I good? Or do I have corruption in me? As a sister, am I good? Or do I have corruption in me? As a grandpa, am I good? Or is there corruption in me? As a grandma, am I good? Or is there corruption of me? What are we? We can only be what we truly are, either good or corrupt. But we're not always what we think we are. I'm easily tricked by myself. If there's a person that you and I can lie to better than any other person we can lie to, it's ourselves. We can convince ourselves of just about anything and really believe it to be true. And so the truth is that we may not be what we think we are. So verse 35 helps us to understand. In Matthew chapter 12, in our reading, in verse 35, it says this, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things." So it's interesting what God teaches us here. We're to lay up treasures, and out of those treasures that we've laid up in our life is what other people see in us and hear when we speak. So those treasures are either evil or they're good. They're either good or corrupt. Now, the Lord doesn't use the word bad. Did you notice that in our reading? Look again in verse 35. For the good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Notice the word bad isn't there. We have a tendency to judge things as good or bad. But God doesn't judge them in that way. They're either good and corrupt, or they're good or they're evil. So God gives us a statement here. So God's saying that it doesn't say saved or unsaved there, does it? It doesn't say the saved man and the unsaved man. And the reason for that is because we can still lay up evil treasures as a saved man. As saved people, we can either do good or we can do evil, even though heaven is our home. We can be saved and still commit evil. Now, I want to help you understand that, so I'm going to give you two definitions this morning. Okay? The word sin in the Bible means this: to miss the mark. God says He sets up a target for us to live by. When we shoot at that target with our life and we miss that mark, it's a sin. Okay? So, God says we're supposed to speak truth. When we speak a lie, we've missed that mark, and that's a sin. Sin is wrong, or the doing of wrong, or the breaking of God's word. The word evil is always a sin, but to do sin isn't always to do evil. The word evil is always sin, and the word evil means this: to use sin to injure. To use a sin to injure. Sin is an individual act of doing wrong. I missed the mark. And that God has set for me. So sin is I missed the mark that God set for me. Evil is an alliance to bring harm to another individual through a sin that I'm committing. So evil is something that I can do even though I'm saved because I'm intending to bring harm to someone else. So let me illustrate an evil for you. I said, telling a lie is a sin. God says truth, and we shot at the goal of truth. We missed the mark. That was sin. Now, I'm going to tell a lie, and it's so that someone thinks better of me and thinks worse of somebody else. You know what I just did when I do that? I commit evil. Because evil is trying to injure somebody else through a sin. All right? So I'm going to boast about me, and I'm going to tear them down. And it may not be true, so I'm just going to say whatever I have to say. That's committing an evil. Evil's almost as easy to commit as a sin. So as a saved person, can I commit a sin? Yes, I can. So as a saved person then, can I commit a sin to injure somebody else? The answer is yes, I can. For example, gossip is a sin. Why is gossiping a sin? Because gossiping is using my tongue to tell a story that may injure somebody else. In Sunday school today, I loved what Miss Shear said. She said, if something's in the past, it's in the past. Let it go. There's no sense in bringing it back up. It's over. So let's just go forward. Gossiping is reliving that bad over and over again. Now, you can gossip about good things, but most gossip is about telling something about something that's happened to somebody else so that it actually injures their relationship with somebody. All right? So, when I gossip, I am sinning, but I may also be committing an evil in my sin because I'm harming someone else. Sin is an act I do by myself. I'm over here by myself. It doesn't affect anybody else. When I commit an evil, I'm over here, and I use that sin and it harms someone else. That's evil. That's God's definition between evil and good. So that's God's definition, by the way, between good and corruption. When I'm good, I'm trying to do my best over here. When I'm sowing corruption, I'm sowing it to other people. It's like someone sowing out here in the wheat fields out here, someone taking some weed seed and spreading that weed. That weed doesn't have any choice but to grow. But it's going to harm that field that it was sown in. And that's what evil is. It's sowing weed in a wheat field. It's sowing weeds in that wheat field. So God tells us that what we need to do is we need to do good. And be careful about doing sin or doing evil. And that's what he's saying. So what are these? Evil is an alliance to bring harm. God tells us we're to do good and be an example to others by bringing forth good things. But what are these good things he wants us to bring forth? That's a good question, isn't it? It said bring forth good things. So what are those good things? I'm glad you asked me that question. Just bring me to point number two. Number two. What is in your heart is what comes out of us. I said number one today, I said we can only produce what we truly are. We can only produce what we truly are. So if I'm good, I'm going to produce good. If I'm evil, I'm going to continue to produce evil. So how do I know that? Well, what comes out of your heart, what is in your heart comes out of us. That's what the Bible says here. Let's read verse 35 in our Bible this morning, what we read. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil. Take a moment in your Bible and leave a marker there in Luke chapter 12. We're going to come back to that. But let's see another reading of this in Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, Luke chapter 6 and verse number 45, the Bible says this. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Well, God's real plain there about that, isn't he? So where does this good work come from? Where does this evil work come from? He says it's coming from our mouth. It comes in our heart. But what's in our heart really ends up to come out of our mouth. What's inside of us is going to come out somewhere. And God says it's with the way we speak. So, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. So he's speaking good. He's speaking encouraging things. He's speaking positive things. He's doing things that'll build people up. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. What's he bringing forth? He's bringing that which is harm to other people. How is he bringing that harm to other people? By what he's saying. Again, look at the end of the verse here in verse 45. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So what's inside of us is what's going to come out of us. And where's it going to come out at? It's not going to come out in our actions. It's going to come out in our words. Because we want to be right. We want to talk or behave right. But sooner or later, what we are comes out in our speech. Is what the Bible is warning us about. That's what the Lord's telling us. So what comes out of the man and out of women when we speak on a regular basis is really what's out, what's down deep inside of us. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, they're teasing, but they really mean some of that? Did you ever hear that statement? You know, that's pretty true. Sometimes down deep inside of us, the only way that we get things out is by making a joke out of it. But the truth is that we need to be careful then of what words we speak. If I'm going to be a good example as a Christian, if I'm going to be a good example as a daddy, am I going to be a good example as a grandpa, if I'm going to be a good example as a grandma, if I'm going to be a good example as a mom, if I'm going to be a good example as a brother, or if I'm going to be a good example as a friend, then I need to say positive, good things out of the goodness of my heart. So I need to look down deep in my heart and find out what's really there. Because that's what's going to come out of my mouth. So what we say then has more power than what we think. What we say then has more power in the lives of others than how we behave. Have you ever said this about somebody? Well, they behave that way, but you should see them when they're not around you. What they say about you. Have you ever seen somebody do that? Have you ever thought that about somebody? Why? Because you know that real person is not the person that they're pretending to be right there. Why? Because you judge them by what they say, not how they were behaving. So the words we say have much more power to them than what we think. Why? Because God says there's a natural law here. Here's the law. What's inside a man's heart is what man is really going to speak. What's down inside of us, what's really who we are, is what really is going to come out of our mouth. God said that's a natural law. That law, again, is quoted to us or given to us in verse 45 of Luke chapter 6, when he says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." So what overflows in our heart is what comes out of our mouth. If you took a glass and put it on a counter or underneath a faucet today and turned on that faucet, that water would fill up that cup and fill up that cup. Then that cup would come to overflowing and whatever flowing into that cup is going to flow out of that cup. Is that right? God says that's how we are. What comes into our life, comes into our heart, will flow out of us sooner or later and it's going to overflow out of our mouth. So it's very important then that we understand the natural law that God has about man. So, what we speak then really is more not just noise, but things that are deep inside our heart. So then that's how we figure out whether we're doing corrupt or good. By listening to what we say. I can know somebody better by what they say than what they do, or where they go, or how they behave. Because what they say is what we really mean. Now, not every word that comes out of our mouth may be exactly what we mean. I like to joke. I like to make people laugh. But the truth is that if you listen to somebody long enough, and you hear them long enough, you're going to hear them say the truth that's inside of them. Now, I like to joke and I like to mess around and I like to pick on people. I'm good at picking on folks and I'm good at making jokes out of myself and jokes about other folks like bald folks. And we don't have no bald folks here today, but I like teasing bald people. That's just a thing I like to do. When my daddy was alive and my uncles and all were alive up in Cleveland, Ohio, we'd get together and my one uncle loved to tell Polack jokes. He loved to tell Polack jokes. You know what he found out when he was older? He was Polish. He was Polish. But the truth is that, we can make jokes and we can mess around, and that may not be what's really in our heart. But if you listen to someone talk long enough, we're going to find out what's really there. We're going to find out. That's why a husband and a wife need to say, "I love you," to each other often. Even as we get older. Because we need to hear those words. Our children need to hear the words, "I love you." Our grandchildren need to hear the words, "I love you." Our children need to hear these words. Are you ready? "I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you." I think every child labors to hear those words from their parents. "I'm proud of you." Not long ago, I read a statement. And here's what that statement was. Let me read it for you. "Your words change everything," the statement said. "They create your reality. You say, 'I'm happy,' and so then you are happy because your words create your own reality. You say, 'I don't feel well,' and so then you don't feel well. Why? Because your words create your reality. The things that you talk about the most are the things that affect you the most. And so the person that's affected the most by my speech is me. And the person that's affected the most by your speech is you. We are what we say we are. If I'm not feeling good, if I'm mad, if I'm angry, you ever feed that thing, you know? Boy, you get mad about one little thing and then you start thinking about all these other things and before you know it, you're angry inside at everything and everybody. Why? Because you are saying the wrong things to yourself. So our words then do change our reality. They do affect how we are. What you dwell on what you dwell on in your speech is really what's in your heart. And that's who we really are. So the question is, what kind of example am I? What kind of example am I? The answer is, what are you producing? Good speech? Or are you producing evil speech? Speech which hurts other people. And that's important for us to know. So we've learned two things so far. We learned, number one, that we can only produce what we truly are. We learn, number two, that what's in our heart is what comes out of us. And now, number three, it's so important. This subject is so important to God, He's going to judge us for this. What? Yeah. This is so important to God, He's going to judge us for this. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 12, where we were at the beginning. Let's look at verse 36 and verse 37. He says this, "But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Isn't that amazing? This is so important to God that He makes this a judgment issue. We learned in Sunday school how just God is. And so this must be very important to God. That He looks to you and I and He says, "Listen, not am I just going to judge the general things you say, I'm going to judge even what you say when you're idle. You know, when you're just passing the time of day, when you're just talking, maybe when nobody's around and you're saying stuff to yourself. Maybe what you say to your buddies or your friends or your neighbors when you sit down to talk to somebody and it really isn't very important conversation, you're just making conversation. God says it's idle conversation. And that we even have to be accountable for that. "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak shall give an account." God's so interested in everything that we say that it doesn't matter to Him what the results are going to be, but the fact that we're saying them. Because those results affect others. Over the years, I've worked with, counseled with, encouraged many young people, many young adults who have a lot of issues, because of things that were said to them when they were young. For example, a daddy or a mama may have looked at their kid and said, "All you are is trouble." And after hearing enough of that, they decided they are nothing but trouble. And so they created more trouble. Why? Because that's the words that they've heard. Or a parent may have said to a kid numerous times, "You're as dumb as a rock. You're just as dumb as a rock." So the child always thinks they're dumb. They can't learn anything. They can't do anything. They can't accomplish anything. Why? Because words have consequences. When I was young, we used to say, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That's not really true, is it? Words do hurt. Words do have an effect. And God understands that words affect everybody. They affect us, and they affect those that are around us, and they affect those whom we may not be really close to. Have you ever met somebody and you have no opinion about them? And then you listen to them talk for a while and you go, "Boy, I really don't like that person." Or maybe you say, "Boy, I really like that person." Why? Because you saw what was coming, or you saw or heard with your ear what was coming out of their mouth, and you're really finding out what that person's all about. And so the truth is that God says we need to be cautious then if we're going to be a good example about what we say. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Because we are accountable to God for that. I want to be a good example. I want to be a good example to my grandchildren. I really do. I want them to remember their grandpa as a man who loved the Lord, who always loved them, who encouraged them, who helped them, who was there for them. I want to be an encouragement. I want to be a good daddy. I want to be a good daddy to my children. I want to be not only a good daddy to my children when they were little, I want to be a good daddy to my children now that they're adults. Because I still have an effect in their life. I may not have as great of an effect as I used to have, but I still have an effect. And so I want to be an encourager to my children. I want to lift them up. I want to strengthen them. I don't want to talk about them. I don't want to destroy them. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to say mean and nasty things to them or about them, because that's going to hurt them. That's going to cause harm to them. So I want to be a good example. I want to be an encouragement to my children. So I want to be a good friend. I want to be a good husband. So I want to tell my wife I love her. I want to tell my wife thank you when she cooks me a dinner. I want to tell her that was good when it's good. I want to tell her she looks pretty when she looks pretty. I want to be an encouragement to my wife. I need to be careful. Now, may I be honest with you? It's easy for us just to say whatever comes off the top of our head. Amen? It's easy to what people would call just spout off. It's easy. And I've been guilty of it more times than I could ever count. Because I too forget what the Lord has just taught us in His Word. So I've got to make a concentrated effort. And you've got to make a concentrated effort. And we have to make a concentrated effort to be the good examples that our people, that people around us need us to be. We are not known to others by what we think. We are not known by our good intentions. We are not known by our good works. But we are known by our words. So as we go through Father's Day this year, let's remember that God's taught us to be a good example. We must be a good example with our tongue. We must be a good example to our children and our grandchildren and our loved ones about what we say. I want to be a good grandpa. A grandpa that sows good seed and not evil seed. It's easy for each of us to commit sin. It's easy for each of us to do evil. Because that's just part of humanity. So I want to listen to what God's teaching us today. And I want to be accountable to Him for what I say. And so I want to be a good parent, a good grandpa. One day, maybe, if the Lord will allow me, a good great-grandpa. I have my daughter and my granddaughter, and my wife went somewhere last night. They went on this little trip. And I was so excited. I got to see my daughter and my granddaughter and my wife. And they have, I don't know, did you take a picture together? Three generations. And I told my wife, I remember the one photograph that shows four generations. My grandma's, my two grandmothers, my mom, my wife, and our oldest daughter, Melissa. Oh, I remember that. Then we got a picture of my wife's grandmother, my wife's mother, my wife, and our daughters. Well, and some other nieces and nephews in there too. Four generations. And I thought, well, that's hard to get. Four generations. Harder than what we think. I'll have to live a lot longer to get a fourth generation. So will my wife. Before a fourth generation will come. May not happen. My mother and my mother-in-law, they're gone. My father-in-law and my dad, they're gone. So four generations is difficult to come up with. It's important then that we as God's people set a good example to those who follow us. Father, I thank you for what we've learned today. I thank you for this simple truth.